We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Good morning, church. Are you here? Good morning, church. Let me hear from the kids. Good morning, fresh kids. Are you cold? Good morning, fresh kids. Thank you, guy. Thank you. It's good to see you all. It's good to have you this morning. And for those who are joining us from afar on YouTube, on Facebook, on Zoom, we welcome you this morning. It is a privilege indeed to gather in the name of the Lord. And we are so grateful that we are able to gather together this morning in His name. I also want to take the time to thank the leadership of the church for giving me the privilege to join the team that has been taking us through the series of spiritual growth. And I'm privileged to take part this morning in just reminding you another aspect of this walk with God. So if you are one of those that write notes, the title of my message this morning is Living a Missional Life. Living a Missional Life. And the text that we'll be reading this morning will be from Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. We'll read it in a while. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Let's us just to pray. But before I pray, I just want to welcome all the new people. If you are here for the very first time, we welcome you. If you are joining us online for the first time, we welcome you. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we have the moment and the privilege of coming into your presence, of gathering in your house, in your name, for only one reason, to worship you and to praise you, and to just to come together and testify your goodness in our lives. And this morning is one of those mornings that we gather together, and we are so grateful that you are here with us, because you never miss an appointment. So Lord, this morning, may our ears hear what you want to say, and may our hearts receive what you have to say to us, what you have prepared for us, what you have designed for this day. And as for me, Father, I present myself to you. Use my lips to utter what you want to utter and speak what you want to speak and communicate it in a way that you want it to be communicated. So I commend myself into thy hands, and I ask you, Holy Spirit, to take over. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Are you happy to be here? Amen. Show me with your amens that you are alive and you are happy to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So, a story is told by a man called James Miller. He told a story of a little boy who decided to build a model ship. He glued all the pieces together and worked on it for hours. He was really determined. And it was perfect at the end of it. Every detail was correct, down to the tiny sailor standing on the deck of the ship. He put it in a glass case. After finishing it, he put it in a glass case to keep it in shape and safe. He wouldn't even let his little brother play with it in the bathtub. He was going to keep it perfect by keeping it safe. It also happened that his parents decided to buy a ship, a boat, so they could spend some weekend sailing out on the harbor. And the whole family loved it. At first, of course, they loved it. It was a lot of work to maintain, though. Boat owners, if you talk to boat owners, they'll tell you that the happiest day of your life or of your day will be the day that you bought your first boat. And the second happiest day will be the day you sell it, because it's very expensive to maintain. So at first, they used to use their boat every weekend. They'll go away to sail. But then they started using it less. It was expensive, remember. So one day, after not using their boat for a while, they decided, let's go for a sail. They went to spend a day sailing and found barnacles growing on the side of their boat, algae all over it, and a dead motor. A real boat is only kept in shape by being used. So the two boats that we are talking about, the model boat and the real boat, went in opposite ways. The model was preserved by being kept in a glass case on the window shelf, whereas the real boat was preserved by being used. You know what? Churches are the real boat. They are only kept in shape by being used. And church, we refer to you and me. Churches that are preserved and are spared for use will eventually fall into disrepair and dysfunction. But churches that pour themselves into serving their communities will find energy, calling, passion, and love. That's being a people on a mission with Jesus, making use of their God-given gifts. We were reminded last week by Mr. Peary that each of us have received a gift. We should use it to save one another as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. He says something that I kept on reflecting it throughout the week. He said, God keeps no display unity for his children's gifts. Whereas your mom and my mom used to have display units for their special ornaments, their special pots, God keeps no display units for his children's special gifts. He wants to use those gifts every day, everywhere, and every moment. So that's in line with our main text this morning, Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. If we can read this together, if media team can help us, please, and we can read it together. Let's read 1, 2, 3. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. All authority has been given to Jesus. When we understand that we are called to live a missional life, we can live for Jesus. When we understand that we are called to live a missional life, we can love like Jesus. And we can share the truth with the hurting people right now, right here. But the big question that we need to answer, you and me, is what does mission mean? What does the word mission mean in our context? And whose mission is it we are talking about? So I had to inquire the Oxford Dictionary to find out what is the definition of mission. A mission is an important assignment given to a person or group of people to do, especially when they are sent to another country. Another definition says, a mission is the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go out into the world and spread their faith. Let's get more closer to us. A Christian mission is an organized effort to spread Christianity to new converts. Missions involve sending individuals and groups across boundaries. We see from those definitions, they are not from a theologian, right? They're just from Oxford Dictionary. There is a clear that there has to be a movement if you're on a mission. There has to be action if you're on a mission. There has to be some spreading, some talking if you're on a mission. And there has to be some going out across boundaries, some sending out, some releasing to spread the good news. and some making of new converts. Therefore, within our Christian context, mission means the committed participation of God's people in the purposes of God for the redemption of the whole creation. Mission means the committed of God's people, you and me, in the purposes of God for the redemption of the whole creation. Our mission on earth as a church, our mission on earth should flow from God's mission. And whatever we do should participate in God's mission. Mission belongs to our God. It isn't about me. It isn't about you. It isn't about anybody else. It is about Jesus Christ. We serve a God with a mission. And you know, the marvel is that in Matthew 28, verse 18 that we have just read, Jesus invites you and me to join in this mission that arises from the heart of God himself and is communicated from that heart to our hearts. And when we reflect on Matthew 28, it is clear that mission is a global outreach by a global people from a missional God whose son died on the cross for whosoever who calls unto him to be saved. Hallelujah. I believe we are called to be fruitful in mission, to make disciples as we go through daily life, investing in others that which the Lord has invested in us. Papa Damas told us and reminded us that we are called to be rooted in Christ. And Mrs. Cabo reminded us again that we are called to bud in relationships. And Mr. Piri last week reminded us that we are called to blossom in service. And today, I'm here to remind you that we are called to be fruitful in mission. Filling the earth with disciples, Isaiah 27, verse 6. If we are really rooted in Christ, there got to be some fruit. If we are really budding in relationships, there has to be evidence of something, of a fruit. If we are blossoming in service, we must be making disciples. Amen. Thus, we are a real boat. And now that we understand, my friends, what mission is and whose mission it is, let's look at four reasons why the mission of Jesus on earth matters to you and me. We want to focus on why the mission of Jesus Christ matters to you and me. So I've got four reasons to share with you. The first reason, reason number one, we are called to continue Jesus' mission in the world. We are called to continue Jesus' mission in the world. In John 17, verse 18, Jesus said, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." He was praying. And he said, "Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." You know, as devoted followers of Christ, we are called and expected to fulfill his mission in this world. If we identify ourselves as devoted followers of Christ, then this cannot be an option to us. If we identify ourselves as a missional church, then this cannot be a suggestion to us. And if we identify ourselves as a Bible-believing people who are walking in obedience to his word, then this is not just a good idea to us. It is a command to be obeyed and practiced in our day-to-day lives. It's a significant part of our faith journey. It is a significant part of our faith journey. And we see the significance of the Great Commission is revealed by the number of times our Lord Jesus emphasized it while he was here on earth. He emphasized the Great Commission than anything else. He stated it 5 times in 5 different situations, in 5 different ways. It is found in each of the four Gospels and once in the book of Acts. Let me provide evidence of what I'm saying. In case you wonder, where is it in Matthew? And where is it in Luke? I haven't come across it in Mark. I'll start from Matthew. Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, just the one that we just read earlier. Jesus commanded the disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." In Mark 16, verse 15, he commanded them, "You are to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone, everywhere." Again, in Luke 24, verse 7, the Lord told them that they should preach repentance and the remission of sins to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Amen? In John 20, verse 21, he commissioned them, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And finally, just before ascending to heaven, in Acts 1, verse 8, he commanded them, "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Amen? It is found in every gospel. The point that Jesus was making is, my mission must matter to you. You don't emphasize something that's not important. You don't emphasize something that is not significant to you. You don't emphasize something that matters to your heart. The point Jesus was making is, my mission must matter to you because it matters to me. For this reason, I came to seek and save the lost. Friends, the primary task of God's people is to bear witness to his great deeds. The first disciples were charged to bear witness to the risen Christ, who they had seen with their own eyes. This witness would begin in Jerusalem, but would move outward to the end of the earth. In these verses, Jesus does not command his disciples to perform certain rituals, or to act according to certain rules, or to refrain from certain activities. He promises them that they will testify of him when the Holy Spirit comes upon them. This is the demonstration of our partnership with him in fulfilling his mission on earth. We are in partnership. It's a partnership with Jesus, being on a mission. So being fruitful in mission is not optional to us. It is not optional to us because we are in a partnership with Jesus Christ. So if it is not optional to us, what is it? That brings me to reason number two. Reason number two, it is our responsibility to share the good news. It is our responsibility to share the good news. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, Paul says, "For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel." The Bible tells us that we were designed to have a personal relationship with God, but we were also designed for responsibility. If you reflect on Genesis 1, verse 28 to 31, you realize that it's not only about "God, I love you, God, I love you," and it ends there. There is a responsibility to carry. That's why Adam, the first assignment was given, was not to go and look for blessings, but to name the animals. So in Corinthians 1, verse 9, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16 that we've just read, Paul says, "Telling the good news is my duty, something I must do." Suggesting that it was his obligation or moral commitment which he was expected to perform by Jesus. And he continues and says, "How terrible it will be for me if I do not tell the good news." How terrible. Referring to the liability which he would assume or accept as part of his role in the kingdom of God, if anyone in his sphere of influence or his world would die without hearing the good news, he would be liable. Demonstrating that Paul understood that sharing good news was his responsibility. It was not an option. We see this again in Ezekiel 3, verse 18. When the Lord was commissioning Ezekiel to the nation of Israel, he said, "You must warn them that they may live. If you don't speak out to warn the wicked to stop their evil ways, they will die in their sins, but I will hold you responsible for their death." He made it clear. You are going there to speak. God clearly explained to Ezekiel that he will be liable if anyone around him that were headed for hell did not receive warning from him but left to go to hell. Church, we can see that this is not a concept unique to the New Testament. God has always been concerned that his people are witnesses of his glory, that his people are witnesses to his greatness. In Isaiah 43, verse 1 and verse 10, God says, "I have redeemed you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." This call to share the good news is still upon us today. As someone said, the gospel is a chain reaction which echoes through the corridors of eternity. The gospel is a chain reaction which echoes through the corridors of eternity. The call to activate that chain reaction is upon us today. The call to make the good news echo through the corridors of eternity is upon us today. The call to make the good news echo through the hallways of our homes is upon us today. The call to make the good news echo through the passageways of our neighborhoods and of our city is upon us today. It is our duty and responsibility to share the good news to all nations, starting from your Jerusalem, our Jerusalem. Wherever you are, start from there. We are in this city for a reason. You are in that city for a reason. Let's fulfill his mission, whichever city or town you are in. And that leads me to reason number 3. It is a privilege to share the good news. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18. It is a privilege to share the good news. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 18 says, "And God has given us the privilege of urging everyone to come into his favor and be reconciled to him. This is the wonderful message that he has given to us to tell. We are Christ's ambassadors." We are Christ's ambassadors, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you imagine? You and me, we are ambassadors of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The sovereign King, majestic in power, awesome in glory, the holy and righteous one, the gracious and glorious King, the life-giving King, the destiny-revealing Master. Can you imagine? The one whose beginning has no end, the one whose kingdom compares to no other, and whose kingship is everlasting. Can you imagine? To whom all wealth and riches belongs to whom all gold and silver belongs to, the forever reigning King, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the ever-present Father. He is the one you and me are privileged to represent. What an honor and a privilege to represent him on this earth, to be his real God. No wonder why Paul said, "I am proud of the good news, because it is the power that God uses to save people who believes, everyone who believes." Romans 1 verse 16. You know, this morning I've come to echo his declaration as I encourage us all to not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. causing a chain reaction that brings eternal life to those who are without Christ and who are dead in their trespasses. Don't be ashamed of it. It is the power unto salvation. And today, we are God's chosen agents to activate that gospel chain reaction as we spread the message of grace to a world estranged from God. We have a unique position and purpose in God's plan of redemption for humanity. Let's do our part. Let's do our part to cause a gospel chain reaction wherever we are. Not forgetting that he died for all. And this gospel has to continue echoing through the corridors of eternity. It is indeed a privilege to bring such a life and destiny transforming news to a people with no hope. It is a privilege. So if it is a privilege, and it is my responsibility and your responsibility, and we are to continue this mission, then that leaves us with one more reason why Jesus' mission made us to you and me. Reason number four, we are grateful for what Jesus has done for us. Ephesians 2, verse 12. We are grateful for what Jesus has done for us. In Ephesians 2, verse 12, it says, remember in the past you were without Christ and you had no hope and you did not know God. You know, too often we forget how good the real good is until you just take a flashback of your life. You know, one thing I like, let me tell you this. I know my husband is going to give me a good counseling when I get home, but don't worry. You know, one thing I like, me, I grew up in the rural country. You know, in the rural country, there's no camera. You know, there's no smartphone. Especially in the days when I was born, there wasn't even a cell phone or a mobile. But my husband grew up in town. He was a city boy. So as a city boy, he has his photos as a little boy when he needed somebody to button his shirts. I don't have. So when we talk about our childhood, I can talk with all confidence because I know he has no evidence of my childhood. But I have his photos on my phone. Hey, I know when he used to have poking his ear, and I know it. But he doesn't know about anything about me. So I can act like I was always polished. You know those times when you're young? You know, for those who were born in Africa, you know, there's dust. There's no, you know, for those who were born here, there isn't much. So you go and play the whole day, and when you come back at the end of the day, the only thing they can see is the little teeth, you know, coming, and the little eyes popping because there's dust all over you. And somebody take a snapshot of you and save it. You know, I can see those. I don't have, because there was no camera. So I can forget about my childhood because I have no one to remind me. Okay? So too often we forget how good the real good news is. We forget that we were once hopeless and with no knowledge or awareness of God. In our faith journey, it is beneficial to remember that what we used to be before our salvation. It is beneficial to remember where God picked you up from and dusted you off of all that dust so that we can contrast it with his gracious gift of salvation and the precious promises that are eternal ours in Christ, lest we forget that it is not our strength, it is not our wisdom, that we are what we are today. So Paul prompts all believers to remember that before our salvation, we who were dead in trespasses and sins and enmity with God, we are to remember four things. We are to remember that at one time we were separated from God of Israel, but now we have been reunited with Christ and brought into fellowship with God the Father. We are to remember that we were once excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we have become inheritors of the kingdom and joint heirs with Christ. Somebody say amen. We are to remember that we were once strangers to the covenant of promise, but now through Christ, we are the recipients of God's promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We are to remember that before salvation, we had no hope in the future, and we were without God in the world. But now we have blessed hope in Christ and have become children of God, who have the right to call him Abba Father, his spirit within us, bearing witness that we are the children of God. Amen. We are to remember, and we ought to remember. Therefore, in remembrance of all this, friends, we can't help it but be grateful. In remembrance of all this, we can't forget, we can't help it but be thankful. In remembrance of all this, we can't help it but appreciate how good our God is. We can't help it but give him the praise he deserves, and he's worthy of praise. I want to give you 1 minute just to reflect. Just reflect where he picked you up from. Just reflect where you could have been if he had not picked you up. And just give him praise. Just give him praise. Just take 1 minute and look at yourself. Think about yourself and say, thank you, Lord. I'm grateful. Tell him how grateful you are that you are what you are today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that we are what we are because of your grace. We thank you, King of Glory. Amen. So we can't help it but share, but testify how good he has been to us. When you reflect on your life, you can't help it but testify how good he has been to you. You can't help it but share how his grace has been sufficient to you, carrying you through your ups and downs. You can't help it, but like that one leper who went back to Jesus to express his gratitude after being healed on his way to synagogue, went back and said, thank you, Jesus. We would live our lives that evident that we are devoted followers of Christ, living missional lives. Church, his goodness should compel us to activate a gospel chain reaction wherever we are, because we carry the evidence of his love and mercy daily. Let's not dare forget where he picked us from and how we got where we are today. I don't know about you, but as for me, his grace and his mercy has made me who I am today. It's his grace and mercy that I've achieved whatever I achieved today. It is grace and mercy that I can stand and speak to you today. It is grace and mercy, and I give him all the glory. I want you to imagine, just imagine a little bit. If your friend or if someone else you know had the cure for cancer, or let's get even to one that is too, we are still afraid of, and we are still, you know, some of us are still not coming to church because we are still afraid of. Just imagine if one of you or one of or someone you know had the cure for COVID-19 and they kept it to themselves, telling no one at all. What, wouldn't that be criminal? Wouldn't that be criminal to keep that as a secret to themselves? Do you agree with me? That would be criminal. Amen? In the same manner, you and me, we have the message. We have the message to know Jesus Christ. We have the message to know that he is the only way to get into heaven. And we decide not to tell it to anyone. To people around us, that's really criminal. That's really criminal. God has never made a person he did not love. Neither has he called us for no purpose. Everybody made us to Jesus. Every person made us to God. Therefore, they must matter to us. And if they matter to us, we wouldn't keep the message of salvation as a secret to us, because that's criminal. Let's share with them the good news of his grace and mercy. Let's tell them where he picked us from. Let's testify that we were not like this. We came from afar. He has been good to us. It is mercy and his grace that we are what we are today. Let me conclude this. Our time is going. Let's conclude this. As I conclude, I would like us to pose this question to us all. what should be our response to our life mission? Knowing that we are God's real boat, which was designed to cause a gospel chain reaction wherever we are. What should be our response to our life mission? Knowing that we are God's real boat, which was designed to cause a gospel chain reaction wherever we are. How should we respond? I have taken a moment to reflect on this. I know I'm just posing it to you now, but I've taken a moment to reflect. So I'll share my view with you. In my view, perhaps we will tell people about Jesus, share our faith, and see new birth. Perhaps we would disciple people, pour our lives into them, and see lives being transformed. Perhaps then we would see ourselves as God's representatives in our communities and places of work, living out His kingdom rule in our words, and in wonders that we see in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think perhaps we would cause a chain reaction which echoes through the hallways of our homes and the corridors of eternity. And I think perhaps we would remember Jesus' words telling His disciples that in the power of His Spirit, there would be His witnesses in the city, in the regions, across cultures, across boundaries, across the world. And we would realize that those words included you and me. No matter what walk of life we come from, or our status in the society, because regardless of gender, occupation, age, ethnicity, we are designed for fulfilling God's mission on earth. We have a mission to fulfill within our sphere of influence that God has placed us in. God is still in the business of serving people. I was privileged to lead somebody to Christ on Wednesday, and I said, Lord, thank you that when I speak about being missional, I'm not talking about something that I don't do, because I just led somebody to Christ on Wednesday. God is still in the business of serving people. We have a mission to fulfill. Jesus would like you to discover your mission where you are and to begin to be an agent of transformation for His kingdom. He wants you to discover your mission wherever you are, your place of your sphere of influence. So I'm going to take time to pray. And there are several categories of people that I'm going to pray for. I'm going to first pray for those who are saying, I actually don't have a relationship with Him. How then can I take responsibility in His kingdom? I want to pray for you that today you may start a new life with Christ. You may start to be on a mission with Jesus. So I pray for you that you may accept Him as personal Savior. And I want to pray for those who are saying, I actually didn't know that I'm designed to continue. I'm called to continue Jesus' mission on this earth. I want to pray for you that today you surrender yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm avail myself to continue your mission on this earth. And I want to pray for those who are saying, I actually didn't know it is my responsibility. Yes, I'm aware that I'm called to continue, but I didn't know it is my responsibility. Because if it's not your responsibility, you're not obliged to do it. I want to pray that you take responsibility from today, that you give yourself to the Lord and take your part. And there might be those who are saying, I didn't know it's actually a privilege and an honor to share the gospel. I pray for you that from today, you begin to see it. You begin to reflect on who God is in the real sense of who God is, and begin to see that it is a privilege to represent Him. And finally, I want to pray for a group of people that are not grateful for where God has picked them up from. Those who are saying, I hardly want to look back in the rearview mirror that shows me my past, because I want to press forward only. But this morning I want to pray for you that when you get excited and comfortable and forget where he picked you up from and see somebody who is in the same mercy and say, he is not going to save this kind. I want to pray for you that you will remember where he picked you up from. I want to pray that you will not forget where he has taken you from. Let us pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you first and foremost that you died on the cross for us all. I thank you, my Lord, that you paid a ransom for all. I thank you, Lord, that you carried a debt that you did not owe. You paid a debt that you did not owe. You didn't have to do it, Lord. You didn't have to do it, Father, but you did it anyhow. You did it anyway. You did it because you loved us so much. And so, Lord, today I present to you those who are saying in their hearts, Lord, here I am. Have mercy upon me, a sinner. I know you died for my sins. I thank you for dying for my sins. Have your way in my life. I receive you as my personal savior. I accept you as my personal savior. Take control and take charge of my life. Lord, I present them before you. Would you take charge? Would you convert? Would you do what only you can do in their hearts? Would you give them the power to become your children this morning? In the mighty name of Jesus, your spirit that will bear witness with their spirit that they are children of God, born not of the will of man, but the Spirit of God. May you touch them this morning. May you save them this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, Father God, for some of us who had forgotten that we are called to be on a mission and to continue mission, and we are called to the Great Commission, who had forgotten that we are actually included in those last words that you say you will receive the power. Then you say, go into the world. We are included in that. Father, we pray this morning. We come to you. Would you commission us? Would you send us? We surrender ourselves to you. Have your way in our lives. Have your way. We want to live for you. And I want to pray, Father, for some of us who did not know that it is our responsibility to share the gospel. Father, I pray that today, now that we know that it is our duty and responsibility to share the good news, now that we know that we are obligated to share the good news, Father, may you give us a burden for souls. May you give us eyes that will see what you see wherever we are. May we give us hearts that will hear you when you lead us to those that need you. May you give us hearts that are sensitive to your leading. Oh, Father, we pray, give us a burden for your kingdom. May the zeal for your house consume us in the mighty name of Jesus. And I want to pray, Father, for some of us who did not realize it is a privilege to save you, the King of Kings, the only true God, the only one who is worthy of praise, the only one who is the beginning and the end, the only one who has no beginning and no end, and the only one who is the Alpha and the Omega. Oh God, help us to know you, to know who you are, to understand who you are, so we may never forget that it is a privilege to save you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, the one who is above, and no one compares to you. No one can match you. No one can equal you. Father, it is a privilege. May we understand that this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. And I pray, finally, for some of us who are not grateful. Father, we forget that we just didn't come to be where we are. We forget that you have been our Ebenezer. We forget that, Lord Jesus, you picked us when we did not know what our tomorrow holds for us. My God, we forget that you picked us when we were on the way to commit suicide. For some of us, we are on the way that we've given up on ourselves and written ourselves off. Father, we forget that for some of us, we didn't think we're worth anything. We're worth noticing. We're worth value. But Lord, you gave us value. You noticed us. You picked us. You cleansed us of our sins. You washed us from our iniquities. You forgave us from transgressions. Oh God, may we be grateful. May we be grateful. May there be a rising in our spirit, in our hearts of thanksgiving. May we enter your courts with thanksgiving. May we enter your gates with thanksgiving and courts with praise. May we worship you day and night. May we worship you wherever and whenever. May we be grateful to you forever. May we be grateful unto you forever. For you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our honor. You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy, my Lord. And I pray that from today, we will know and identify ourselves as the real boat that is kept in shape because we are running, we are saving our Lord. May we know that we are designed to cause a chain reaction, a gospel chain reaction, which echoes through the eternity, the corridors of eternity, through the corridors of our hallways. May our children hear you praise you, Jesus. He has praised you. He has worshipped you because you are worthy. You are worthy, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for giving us a mission. We thank you for giving us a reason to live for. We thank you for giving us a purpose to live for. We thank you for giving a meaning to our lives. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God's people say amen. Thank you.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.